Morning, everyone. How you doing this morning? You good? All right, come on, give God praise this morning one more time. Amen. I know we've been praising Him, but you can't stop out praising God, right? Like, we can always give Him praise. Once again, my name is Kyle. If we've not met yet, I'm the lead pastor. So excited that all of you are here today. Hey, I just want to celebrate real quick before we dive into today's message. How many of you were here last week for Baptism Sunday? Yeah, we got to water baptize 9 people, kids, adults, families. Like, it was so powerful, so exciting. I love Baptism Sunday and the life change that God is doing in people's life. So awesome to see that last week. And then this weekend, our youth group, some students from our youth group went to our district Fine Arts Festival. If you were here Wednesday night, you got to see some of them kind of practice some of their performance before they went to the actual Fine Arts Festival this weekend. And man, we had an incredible time. I got to go Friday for a little bit, and man, it was just awesome. And I just want to celebrate. Man, all of them did an amazing job. It's nerve-wracking to go up in front of people and do... it's nerve-wracking to stand here in front of you sometimes, just being honest, right? But they did an incredible job, and there were several of them that are going. They got invited, so they all get scores, and they get invited to the National Fine Arts Festival, which this year is in Ohio, and that is in August. But we had our puppetry group that advanced to nationals. Let's see, our... human video group advanced to nationals. We had some artists. There were a couple. Destiny Micah had some artwork in there. There were multiple people. Parker for his drum solo. Let's see. So many people that are involved. Bella for her vocal solo and short sermon. Ashley had a spoken word vocal solo. I'm just kind of going through here real quick. Denzel, where you at, Denzel? You did a great job. Cheyenne for their artwork. Man, there's so many here. Kendall had like everything here. Vocal solo, short sermon, puppetry, human video. Ellie, puppetry, human video. Parker, drum solo, puppetry. I'm just going to read them off. It's easier. Emma, human video, photography, middle or mobile junior. I mentioned Cheyenne for her artwork. Denzel for his artwork and human video. Destiny for her artwork. Micah for his artwork. Ashley, I mentioned her. Libby, vocal solo. Bella, vocal solo, short sermon. Noel, short sermon. Benji, human video. Genesis, human video. Isabel, Taylor, Vicky, all human video. Waylon was involved in the puppetry group. Aiden, short sermon. Charlie was in the puppetry group. All of them did an amazing job and got invited to nationals, right? And yes, just want to celebrate that real quick. And if I could just say this real quick, because I feel like I got to insert a teaching moment. Like, students, we want to encourage your gifts and your abilities, but never crave the applause of men over just seeking God and using it for His glory, right? Because listen, men will turn on you real quick, right? That applause will turn off real quick, and that's not why we do any. The stage looks really appealing, but there's a burden that comes with that, right? And it all for God's glory. So stay humble. Let God use you in those ways, but crave His presence and what He wants to do through those gifts that He has for you. We've been in the series called Miracle in the Middle. Hope you've been enjoying it. Today I've got a message for you entitled Step Away. Ladies, how many of you like getting flowers, right? Yeah, lots of ladies in the room. You might get them for a birthday, anniversary, maybe just because, you know. You get flowers, and it's a beautiful thing. Fellas, man, step up your game. If it's been a minute, man, go out there. Publix is the place to get your flowers. That's where I always get mine. I'm not going to the florist and spending like $60 because they're just as nice at Publix. Now, if you want to splurge, that's up to you, man, but I'm balling on a budget. And so, but they're just as nice, man. But sometimes I have to sneak them in the house, right? I got a certain spot, and I'm not giving out my secrets here, but I got a certain spot. I try to keep them away. Maybe she knows, she's just not letting on that she does, but I have a certain spot that I keep them where I know I can sneak it in and she not see it, and then I get to surprise her the next morning. But however you do it, do you realize this though? And I don't mean to ruin anything here, but when you get those flowers, you're really just getting a bundle of dead things. You may not realize, I get it at first, you get it, it's like, wow, this is beautiful. The reds and the purples and the pinks and the white and all the beautiful, it looks really nice, right? But how long is that gonna last? It's not gonna last, maybe a week. You got to put the little powder stuff they give you in there, right? You got to take care of it, right? The moment that they are separated from the plant, from the vine, they begin to die. They start they might look good for a little bit, but they are starting the process. You actually are getting a bundle of dead things. Fellas, you're actually paying a lot of money for some dead stuff, right? Again, I'm not trying to ruin that for anybody, but the process of death has already started. Why? Because fellowship is broken between the flower and the vine. It may still look nice at first, but it's going to start to fade. As well-intentioned as the gift is, you may have just been given a bundle of death. Again, I don't mean to ruin that experience for you. You can still do flowers if you want to. But a lack of fellowship of the flower with the vine results in death. And so it is with you and I and our fellowship between us and God. And that thing that causes separation from our source, that thing that causes spiritual death in our life, is something called sin. Sin separates us from God, and it leads us to spiritual death. Here's how it works. Sin is a slow fade, and that happens one step at a time. One step of compromise here. You might think, hey, it's not hurting anybody, it's just a little something, something. Like, no, it's one step after another step. And it's a slow fade. You may not see it, just like those flowers. It may still look good and feel good in the moment, but over time, one step at a time leads us away from God completely. What do you do in the middle between your flesh and the fear of God? What do you do? Because there's this constant battle back and forth. Why? Because we have a propensity to sin. We have a strong urge to sin. Our flesh, you're still battling. I don't care how good a saint you are. I don't care how close to God you are. There is still a struggle between what our flesh wants and what the Spirit of God wants. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it like this: walk in the Spirit so you don't gratify the desires of your... Because there's still a desire that's there. There's still a struggle back and forth. Pulling, man. In the middle, we find ourselves, here's where we go wrong, is we give into our feelings. Your feelings are not facts. In the moment, and this feels good, so if it's good and I feel good about it, then it must be right. But we don't realize that's one step toward our flesh. In the moment, we give in to, like, man, I really like this. I really want this. And so because I like this and want it, it must be for me. So God, will you bless it? And it's not blessing you. It's actually taking you further away from God. No, in that moment, in those moments where we battle our mind, where we battle those feelings, where we battle our flesh, we've got to stop. We've got to discern. And we've got to realize, no, this is contrary to God's word. This is contrary to God's way. And that's in those moments we need the Spirit of God to allow that discernment, to give us the grace that empowers us to say no and to walk away from that sin. Paul said to walk in the Spirit. That's what we need to do in the middle, between walk in the Spirit, between the two things, between flesh and the fear of God. When I say fear of God, I don't mean being scared of God, but there should be a holy reverence in our life to stay true to His Word. His Word is there to correct us, to guide us, to lead us, yes, to comfort us at times, but to lead us and guide us in what? In truth. And the problem is that many of us, we've got it all flipped around. The world has it all flipped around because we read the Bible and say, hey, I don't like that because that does not fit my life. It's not meant to fit your life. It's meant to change your life. Amen. So some might read it and say, oh, this can't be true because this is not how I feel. This is not what I'm going through. This doesn't fit my life. No, it's meant to change you and shape your life. So what do you do in between flesh and the fear of God? We need the truth of God. We need God's Spirit, God's presence. How do we fill up on God's Spirit and His presence? We've got to spend time with Him. That is done in the secret place. That is done in spending time praying and seeking the Lord, filling our life, filling our minds, filling our heart with more of Him. And that is done through prayer. That is done with His Word. How do you fight the lies of our culture? How do you fight the lies of the enemy? How do you fight some of the lies that maybe even you speak over yourself? You fight it with truth, with the truth of God's Word. But that means you have to read God's Word and know God's Word and apply God's Word to your life. Because without it, I'm going to give in to my flesh. Sin is a slow fade. It happens one step at a time. Let's learn something from a man named Samson today. Many of you have heard about Samson. His accomplishments are legendary. Here's this gifted individual who had this divine gift from God, yet lost all of it. His accomplishments are legendary, but so are his weaknesses. Samson, like many of us, had this tremendous God-given potential, but he self-destructs. He often got in his own way because he gave in to his flesh over and over again. Samson was an incredibly strong man, but had a dangerously weak will. His story starts with the birth announcement from an angel. He was called to be set apart, chosen to deliver God's people, but he gave in often to uncontrollable fits of anger. He often used his gift not for God's glory. Massively empowered with super strength, he killed 30 men to pay off a gambling debt. He tore apart a lion, killed 1,000 men. Insatiable weakness for women. What does that look like in our life sometimes? You might be committed to work, or you might be committed to the gym, or you might be committed to something else, but you won't commit at home, and much less commit yourself at church. You might be aggressive at work, so you're crushing deadlines, and you're hitting all those goals, and you're getting the promotions. You might be aggressive at work, but you are passive and hands-off at home. You are not committed at church. You might spend hours researching things you want to buy. You may have spent hours researching that grill that you wanted to buy, fellas. You may have spent hours, ladies, looking for that new purse, that new coach bag, or whatever it might be. You may have spent hours looking up some new Jordans to put on your feet. But we won't commit 5 minutes to God's word. At this point in the story, Israel had done evil in God's eyes, and they were handed over to the Philistines for 40 years. In Judges 13, an angel speaks to a woman, the wife of Manoah, who was sterile. She could not conceive, and God says, I'm going to give you a son. And she births a son, and that son from birth was to be set apart to deliver God's people from the Philistines. So he would carry a special Nazarite vow. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 6. But that vow was to not drink wine. Don't anything unclean, because he's called to be set apart from the rest of everybody else. So he's going to live a holy life consecrated to God. He was to not cut his hair as a vow, as an outward sign of what was going on the inside. This was a way to give an ordinary non-priest a way to dedicate his or her life to God. Doesn't that sound very similar to when we give our life to Christ? That we're supposed to consecrate ourselves unto God. We're supposed to live a life holy, as set apart from the rest of the world, pleasing to God. When we get baptized, it's an outward sign of inward change going on in our life. Maybe we're all Nazarites, or at least we should be. Here's what's kind of going on. Samson has this incredible call on his life. And because no razor touches his head, because his hair isn't cut, there's this strength, this divine strength that God gives him. Like physical strength. This guy, and scripture kind of leads to me to believe that maybe he didn't look the part. You know, you see these guys going to the gym. You're gonna bench right there? Mind if I jump in for a set, you know? You see this guy? He probably didn't look like that. He probably didn't look like, why? What set him apart was his hair. That was the physical evidence. But yet, when it came time to throw down, my guy threw down. He took a donkey's jawbone and whooped some fellas, y'all. He ripped apart a lion with his bare hands. He had incredible physical strength. This was a gift that God gave him, but he did not use it for God's glory. Judges chapter 15, we're going to look at Judges chapter 15 and chapter 16, but Judges chapter 15, we're going to bounce around a little bit here. Judges chapter 15, verses 19 through 20, God opened up the hollow place in Lehi and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. So the spring was called En Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, speak to us today. Change us, challenge us, Lord. I don't want to leave the same. Lord, may we not leave this place the same. God, you are calling us to give our life to you. You are calling us to lay down things that, Lord, you never called us to pick up in the first place. Call us to repentance today. Call us to make it right. God, call us, Lord, to just surrender our lives to you. Lord, if there's places of compromise, Lord, challenge us today. Lord, may we leave it at your altar today. Lord, may change us by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in this text in Judges chapter 15, we see 20 years of peace. They're on the right track. There's peace, there's prosperity, there's relative freedom. And what looks like maybe Samson has put his problems behind him, he's only ignored it and covered it up. And what will end this story, we see Samson end up giving up his secret, losing his strength, losing the gift that God had. His eyes get gouged out. He becomes a laughingstock. So how did he go from having this incredible gift, having this incredible call on his life, to now losing it? See, sin is a slow fade. It happens one step at a time. It didn't just happen in a moment where he gave in to Delilah, because there were other women that he gave in to in other ways before that, that led him to that place. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined it one step at a time. May our steps not lead us to our flesh, but may our steps lead us to more of God in our life. Judges 16, 1 through 2. One day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and laid in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn we will kill him. At dawn we will ride." Like they were constantly wanting to get Samson because, man, they knew the stories about him. They wanted to get this guy out, right? Gaza was the Philistine headquarters, public enemy number one. Gaza is 25 miles from Samson's hometown of Zora. He was stupid enough to risk so much for a one-night stand. Stupid enough for a quick fix. Stupid enough to give up everything for a momentary pleasure. And before you look down on Samson, there's many of us that do that every day. Countless people do it every day. Gaza's 25 miles from Samson's hometown of Zora. 25 miles. Do you know how many steps are in those 25 miles? 56,250 steps. One step at a time, closer to his flesh. One step at a time, away from where he should be, to a place where he shouldn't be. One step at a time. Sin is a progression of desire that leads to deception, that leads to disobedience. Desire, having that thought or that feeling, that desire of our heart that leads us to think, "I really need this, I really want this," that then leads us to act upon that which is disobedience. Samson continued to be motivated by his own desires, by his flesh. Instead of the fear of God, instead of walking out that calling in his life, instead of walking out, "Man, God has called me to consecrate myself, to be separated from these things." It's no different from you and I. When we surrender our life to God, we're called to live that life set apart from the things of this world, set apart from sin, the very thing that leads to death, which is spiritual death, separation from God. He lacked concern for God's ways. He disregarded his parents' godly instruction. Young people, don't disregard your parents' godly instruction. He continually made choices that didn't please God. Samson had this God-given gift, but he lacked the conviction and the character to carry it. Your talent will take you a long way. Your talent will get you in the door to places, but it's your character that will keep you there. A gift from God can only be used for the glory of God. This guy was strong enough to kill 1,000 men all by himself. He was strong enough to tear apart a lion and to rip a 700-pound door off its hinges, but he was not strong enough to lead a woman. He fell in love with this woman named Delilah. The Philistines wanted her to get the secret of Samson's strength, so she nagged him, and she nagged him, and she kept, "Hey, come on, tell me, come on, baby. Hey, tell me a little something. Yeah? Come on, hey, just, you know. Ooh, Samson, you're so strong. Come on, tell me. Tell me something good, right? Tell me the secret." Gave up the farm. Judges 16, 17, he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said. because I've been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. Verse 19 of Judges 16, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Samson assumed his disobedience would never cost him anything. He didn't even realize when God's power had left him. See, sin numbs and desensitizes us to the things of God. Verse 20, and then she called him, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And he woke up from his sleep and he thought, I'll just go out before and I will shake myself free. But he didn't even realize the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined it one step at a time. One step away from God at a time. Where his strength came from, one step away from that at a time. Where are you stepping away from God? Where are you stepping away from Him? Is it an undisciplined life to where you're not spending time with God? To where you're not having those prayer times, those quiet times where you're seeking the Lord and experiencing His presence and that Holy Spirit that we need to walk in? The time when we're in trouble is not the time to call on God. Can we do that? Does God call us to do that? Yes, but we develop that hearing of His voice in that secret place. That's where we learn His voice. In His Word, we see this God that we serve. We see where it is that the Bible is meant to be a lamp and a light to our life. Where are you stepping away from that in an undisciplined life? Where are you stepping away from God? Is it in your anger? To where you can't control yourself, to where you're not even yourself anymore, and you give in to those moments. Is it pride? Is it lust? Is it greed? Is it gambling? Is it some addiction? Is it being passive? Is it being a workaholic, lying? Samson's hair was long, but his heart had drifted. You're only as strong as you are honest. To where you can come to a place where you stop and say, God, what am I doing? Where am I going? What is happening? It's like that light bulb needs to be clicking off, that discernment, that checking of the Holy. If you have lost that check of the Holy Spirit, something's wrong. The danger to all of this for Samson is that the presence of God had left him. That should be a scary thought for us. That is the fear of God, to think, man, I don't want God's presence to leave me. That is the true fear of God, to know I don't want God's presence. I need God's presence in my life. But you're only as strong as you are honest. What can we see through Samson's spiral down? Let's back it up a little bit. We see there's a moment where Samson taunted his enemy. Judges 16:3. Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. He got up and he took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, and he tore them loose, bar and all, lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. This is the main entrance to the city. And my guy, this is like a 700-pound door, and my guy just rips all of it off and just carries it like it's nothing through the city. Man, he's showing off, y'all. He's showing out. He's like, hey, come and try me. Mess around, find out, right? I'm taking the door off. Come on in. See what happens. And he's parading this door around the city. He's taunting his enemy. There's many of us who are no different in our life. We've opened the door to the things that should not be in our life. Don't leave the door to your heart wide open. We're told to guard our heart. The Bible says to guard your heart. Samson didn't humble himself in the obedience before God. He insisted on the freedom of just doing whatever he wanted to do. And this left him no freedom at all. He relied on his giftings more than God. It's like he felt nothing could touch him. We can only walk in the power and the presence and provision of God to the degree we are willing to walk in obedience to God. See, we often underestimate our enemy. What does the Bible say about the enemy? What does the Bible say? The devil is roaming around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. How many times have we given him that opportunity in our life? Hey, you know, we love each other. We're not married yet, but hey, we can hook up because we love each other. We can go to the bar and hang out. It's just a social thing, and that's okay. We can look at this. We can smoke a little something on the side. It's just fun. It's just a little flirt, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Don't rationalize sin. Repent from it. Turn away from it. Don't get yourself stuck in it. Stay away from it altogether. What did Samson do? He often rationalized the same old sin. Judges 16:4, sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He seemed to have a weakness for women. And many of you might think, hey, this thing is no big deal. It's not hurting anyone. Oftentimes we try to justify it. Hey, I work hard. I deserve a little time off. I deserve to take a little steam off. Samson kept rationalizing the same thing till it finally caught up with him. Think about this for a minute. Search your heart for a second. Maybe even ask God to reveal it to you. But what's the one thing that could take you out? What's the reoccurring challenge that you have? If I made this statement, how would you fill in the blank? I have a problem with blank. What is that for you in your life? Whatever it is, the first step to overcoming that problem is to admit you have a problem. And God's strength, guess what, is made perfect in your weakness. As you give it to him, as you surrender it, God empowers us with grace to overcome. Paul said again, walk in the Spirit so you won't gratify your flesh. Live in that fear of the Lord. Live knowing, man, I don't want God's presence to go away from me. We should be worried if his presence leaves us. Not worried about condemnation, because that's where we often worry. That God's not going to love me, that God's not going to forgive me, and the enemy would love for you to stay stuck in that lie. Condemnation is not from God. That comes from guilt. That comes from shame. God has made a way. Jesus has already forgiven you. It's just up to us to partner with that forgiveness, to align our life with God and what he's already done on the cross for us. Live in the fear of the Lord. Don't worry about the condemnation. Worry about God's presence leaving you. This isn't the first woman. This isn't Samson's first Philistine. I don't know why, but sleeping with the enemy is not just a movie for Samson, right? This was a real thing. For whatever reason, he liked him some Philistine women. Because this would be his third relationship with the enemy. The very people he was called to deliver God's people from, he kept sleeping with, the enemy. All got him in trouble. Like, these weren't just ungodly women, they were the enemy he was called to deliver them from. Sleeping with the enemy. Quit sleeping with your sin. He kept repeating the same pattern. The cycle of sin continues when you repeat the same pattern. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. He had lost sight of God's calling on his life. He had lost sight of who God had called him to be. Don't lose sight of who God has called you to be. Young people, you want to use those talents? You got a whole group of people that will support that. But don't lose sight of what that's meant for. Come on, there's many of you in this room. God wants to use you for his glory, for the kingdom. But don't lose sight of who he's calling you to be. Not just what he wants you to do, but more importantly, who he's calling you to be. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of it because of something you want. Don't lose sight of that because of something you're trying to justify in your life. And just because you failed at something doesn't mean you are a failure. Don't stay stuck in that. There is still power in the name of Jesus to break that off of your life. Listen, failure is an event, never a person. Some of you might get locked in that lie that, hey, I messed up, so I just must be. You are not what you do. You are who you were created to be. Failure is an event. It's something that happens, and it's something that we need to learn from. Not stay stuck in. But to experience something different, you've got to do something different. Whatever that is, start with the next right thing. Samson couldn't seem to get that. Samson comes through in the end, even though it cost him his life, and he has one more chance to make it right. Worship team, you guys can come up. One more chance. to make it right. He's been captured. His eyes have been gouged out. He's working away, grinding away in the prison. He's got one more chance. Judges 16, 23 through 25. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw Samson, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into the hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." They called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. So they're in the temple, the most holy spot of the Philistine territory, and they sacrifice to their God, the God of the harvest, this God they call Dagon. Even though Samson had blown it, even though his sins finally caught up to him, he finds an opportunity for God to use him one more time and make it right. See, just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. Right? Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Judges 16, 29 through 30, then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. It's never too late to do what God wants you to do. You may be down, but not out. Proverbs 24, 16, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. It's time for someone to get up. It's time to push down some pillars in your life. Maybe you're feeling like a failure today. Maybe you feel like God can't use you after what you have done. But if that's you, push those pillars down. Push down the pride, push down the anger, push down the greed, the lust, the comparison, the jealousy, the regrets, push down fear of failure, push it all down and move forward. What pillars do you need to push down in your life today? How are you going to do that? Samson did what was right in this moment, not what was easy. This would cost him his life. There's a cost when surrendering ourselves to God. There's things that we lose, those things that we like, those things that we want, and it's for your own good. God's way is for your own good. Samson gives his life one more time. What are you going to do that is harder, not once, but daily in your life? Paul said, "I die daily," daily to himself. Make daily decisions to die to yourself, to crucify your flesh. In between your flesh and the fear of God, we need to die to ourselves. To deny ourselves, to deny our flesh and walk in the Spirit. Just like it took steps to sin, it will take steps to get out of that. One step closer to God. One day at a time. I'm leaving, I'm repenting, I'm turning from this thing, from my flesh, and I'm stepping toward God. And in stepping toward God, through prayer and stepping through God through encounters with Him and stepping through God as we obey Him one time after another and fear Him one time after another. And stepping toward Him, what we don't realize sometimes in the moment is we are stepping toward His purposes for us. Stepping toward our destiny, our divine destiny, one prayer at a time, one encounter at a time, one act of obedience at a time, one healing at a time. Maybe today you need some healing from some things, because maybe that's the source of some of your issues. There's two responses to failure. There's the natural response, which is remorse. There's the better response, which is repentance. Remorse is when we feel bad. We did something, we messed up, so I feel bad. You might take it to the extreme and feel like a horrible person. Again, that's shame and that's guilt that happened. Hey, I got caught. There's many people you are more upset that you got caught than you are about making it right in your life. What happens in remorse is we often blame, we often deflect, we often put that, hey, it wasn't my fault. Samson could have been, hey, it was, man, this Delilah chick, man, she was a bad one. It was her fault. She's the one that got it out of me. But no, it was his decision. Repentance would say it like this. Man, I'm sorry. It's my fault. God, you entrusted me with this thing. You entrusted me with a gift, with a plan, with a purpose, and I blew it. Samson didn't take his vow seriously. The things that he wanted to gratify his flesh, he wanted it. He felt like he deserved it. I got this gift of God and nothing can touch me. No one can faze me. I've got this incredible strength. He took steps away. You can't unsin, but you can only repent. Can't unsleep with that person you slept with. Can't undo the bad deal you did. Can't undo what you said, what you looked at, or what you did. Remorse is looking backward, but repentance is moving forward. Don't let past failures limit your future opportunities. Judges 16, 25, 26, and 28. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me." He prayed one more time. "God, please strengthen me just one more time. Remember, God, I remember, Lord, right? I was supposed to deliver your people." And in a moment of him turning to God, the spirit began to stir within him once again. His strength began to return. His hair began to grow back. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He can't change the past, but he can change the future. All in, God, whatever I have left, Lord, I'm doing it for your glory. And he steps across that line. And in a moment, for at least one moment in his life, it wasn't about him. It was all about God. There was a change that happened. Even though it cost his life, there was a change that happened. Come on, someone needs to declare this over their life. Someone needs to walk out of this place and declare that I'm different. I took a moment today. I took a chance to not gratify myself, but to give it all to God. For once in your life, not make it all about you, but about him. Some of you might need to push down a pillar today. Don't give in to your flesh. Whatever you do, in between your flesh and your fear of God, die to your flesh.